This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Better movie, Caddyshack.
I keep playing. I don't think the heavyset's going to come down for quite a while.
Happy Gilmore.
Get better than me!
For me, it's Caddyshack.
35 or older, you choose Caddyshack. And if you're under 35, you choose Happy Gilmore.
That's your home! Are you too good for your home?
We were taking a bus trip, and I said, okay, who's in charge of the movies? Let's get something going. Have you guys seen Coming to America yet?
That boy's good.
And they're like, what's Coming to America?
Oh,
I was like, but that's
disgraceful.
This is DCR.
You should be in prison. If you haven't seen Coming to America, you have not done your job as a human being. And the parents have failed you there also.
On 98.7 ESPN.
So, no Canty today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. He's going to be on Get Up this morning. Of course, you want to watch that at 8 o'clock. Rick, I just looked up Zoftig. I don't think it means what everyone is convinced it means on the K Show and on this show as well.
Well, no, I would say that Dave Rothenberg has a Zoftig figure.
Yeah, I think that's more accurate. It's having a full, rounded figure, typically plump, and most often used to describe a woman.
Yeah, Jay, so, this is... Well, but I think it means like it's like... I got a tweet. It's like it's juicy. Like you're going to get like that was a juicy segment of Nobservations.
Yeah. All right. I'll give it to you. But I wonder, I mean, Michael's very smart, but I wonder if he probably does. But I'm not convinced. I don't know. Do you think he knows that this is typically about a female that we're discussing here?
Yeah. I mean, he uses words like weapons. Of course.
Like weapons. I love that soundbite.
I'm actually use this as it could be one of my new sexy words with my wife.
What, you want to have a little Zoftig time?
No, you look great right now. You're making me a little Zoftig.
Yeah, I think you make someone Zoftig.
I'm going to use it.
Use it however you want. Just throw it in there. You want to have a little Zoftig time, baby?
You're making me feel Zoftig. You want to go lock ourselves in the pantry so the kids can't find us?
We can mime our way to some Zoftig times.
I'm not even joking, dude. The other day we tried to sneak away. The baby was asleep. Which is, I mean, to get the baby to nap, period, I mean, is an act of God. Because the second you put him down, he usually wakes up.
I give you a lot of credit, man. I really do. The fact that you are so, like, full force in trying to continue that kind of relationship with three little kids at home all the time is tremendous for you.
Dude, I can't even help it, though. That's the crazy thing. Like, I'm like an 18-year-old kid all of a sudden. So, he's asleep, which is, like I said, so we have the monitor. And then Milo's on school. Like, this is his long, like, he's actually in his long.
So Milo's in the midst of science, and you said, hey, listen, let's go get some Zoftig time.
Well, exactly right. Yeah. I said, you're making me a little Zoftig here. Let's get something going. So we actually do it, which was great. I'm like, this is perfect. I'm not even joking, Dave. The second I click the lock on the door, all of a sudden you hear feet as if they knew something was going on. Come running to the door and start banging. What are you guys doing in there? I was like, oh God, there we go. That's it. That's ruined.
Now, did you say we're having Zoftig time? Leave us alone.
No. At that point, it's like you're so caught off guard because it's like you're finally like in the moment. Like this is the greatest thing ever. And all of a sudden it's like bang, 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 bang. What are you doing in there?
What's going
on? Like a little kid.
It's like they know everything. They're little geniuses, these people.
They know everything.
That's right. They know that the Zoftig time is happening and they want to stop it immediately. They're like a parent, right?
Yes.
It's like if you're 15 and you come home and the parent is like, listen, I expect the door to be open the entire time. That's what these little people are like. Saul, Staten Island. Saul, you're next up on 98.7.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, guys. Just wanted to chime in a little as a native Yiddish speaker on the whole Zoftig question. So among people in, let's say, Brooklyn or Williamsburg who speak Yiddish, I've almost never heard it being referred to describing a woman. That might be what it used to be used though, or older Yiddish speakers. Now it's almost entirely used as Rick used it. Let's say that was a Zoftig steak or that was a Zoftig, you know, not necessarily an event. No one really describes it as an event, but like usually I've heard in reference to food. Oh, that's a good, you know, Zoftig, a piece of kugel type of thing.
Oh, a piece of kugel.
Ooh, a little kugel.
Oh, nice. Now, I didn't realize, Rick,
you like
maybe
the kugel?
You did. I didn't realize it had Yiddish ancestry.
I didn't realize it until I got the tweet. Are you a kugel guy or a kegel guy? What's your favorite?
I like both. I do. It depends on the time of the day. There's sometimes that a good piece of kugel is delicious.
If you could get a Kugel with the Kegel at the same time, now you're talking.
Forget it. That'd be a win for everyone. All right. Let's take a moment here. Take a step back and look at this from a macro level, and that would be Aaron Boone. I love the answer here about do you have the players, do you have the roster you think to win the World Series? I don't know what option he has but to say, of course, but here is Aaron Boone from yesterday on that answer.
I do. Absolutely. Talk is always cheap, obviously, at this point, but I really like the winter that we've had with some of the additions we've made that I think are going to be impactful to go along with already the makeup of this team that is of championship caliber. And that's what we're here to try and do and try to accomplish. And we get to start that in earnest tomorrow. A lot of the groundwork is laid. A lot of that foundation is laid throughout the winter with guys in their offseason programs. But now we get to come together as a team and start trying to lay what we hope is that championship foundation. And, you know, hopefully this is the year we get to the top of that mountain. We certainly feel like we have a club that's in that mix.
I know this is going to be the kind of the topic that we get into all year long with the Yankees. They got to go to the World Series. Anything shy, unless there's an injury and things change and expectations change. But the Yankees need to, Rick, go to the World Series and represent the American League in the baseball finals. They have to. They need to get back there.
No, I understand what you're saying, especially when you look at the American League. I mean, your division, the Blue Jays are better. The Rays, I mean, they'll find a way to be competitive. I still think you should win the AL East. And then
you have to win the AL East.
You have to. And you got the White Sox and the Twins. And then, I mean, the Astros, I think, will be better. And you got the A's. But as far as the elite teams in the American League, it's...
There's one team.
It's the Yankees.
When you look at the National League, you can say Dodgers, you can say Padres, you can say Braves, maybe Nationals, maybe Mets are on that next level. When you look at the elite of the American League, there's only one team. And that's not to say that the A's can't be good or the Rays can't be good or the White Sox can't be good or the Twins, but there's one team heading into the season that is at that elite level, and that's the Yankees.
Yeah, I would say the Yankees are, I mean, the American League version of the Dodgers, and the White Sox are kind of, or the Padres. Where talent-wise, they're right there. You just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, but I expect the Padres to be in the postseason. I have no doubt about that. I think the White Sox are more of a wild card. You don't?
Well, you don't. They'll be a wild card. You don't think they'll be a wild card team? You don't think they'll win that division?
I expect the Twins to
win the division. So they're going to be a playoff team. All I'm saying is that we expect... Listen, both teams talent-wise. The Padres, super talented, right? Super talented. Love
tremendous.
The moves that they made. I can say the same thing. I mean, talent-wise, when you look at the lineup, what they've done, I mean, their rotation, I mean, their bullpen, like the White Sox are legit. You just haven't seen it yet. Like you're counting on it to happen, but you haven't seen it yet. Like I've already, the Dodgers are, they just won the World Series. And the Yankees, I mean, stay healthy. I mean, that's the team that you would pick in the American League. That's my only point. But there are some questions with the Yankees, though, Dave. There really is.
Well, I think that you say some questions. That's the starting rotation, right? And health.
That's the rotation.
I think those would be the two things. Because the bullpen is really good. The lineup is really good. The rotation after Cole you have questions about. And I think the health of that team. But I mean, outside of the Dodgers, doesn't every team have some questions?
I think every team does have some questions. I mean, there's... I would always say this. If I was a GM of a team, and you're trying to eliminate as many ifs as humanly possible. And right now, starting rotation, there's a lot of ifs. I mean, Kluwer pitched one inning last season. You got, I mean, Tyon's coming off of his second Tommy John. You got a bunch of young guys with tons of talent that you're hoping, you know, kind of take that step. And it may take some time. Like, it may be early on where you're going to count on, like, your offense is going to have to carry the day once you get past Gerrit Cole, which could be fine because they're capable of doing it. But I think the other thing, too, is, and I think Herman's going to be a huge part of this when he's back because he's, I mean, we've seen what he's capable of doing. But defensively, they're not very good. I mean, last year, defensively, they were bad. Do you think you've addressed that?
No.
Because I don't.
No.
I mean, Urshela is great. Torres has been...
You cannot convince me, and I said this before last year, and I feel even more validated now. Torres, every day at shortstop, I don't believe in that.
Which I think affected his offense. I do. Just like I think that the defense affects Gary Sanchez's offense. Which is why he would benefit from being able to be a DH more often, but he can't. I mean, Clint Frazier is better in left field, but he's not a great left fielder. Aaron Hicks was not as good as he normally is defensively in center field.
Judge is a great right fielder defensively.
And then Voit at first base is not a great defender.
No, it's weird. You're hit or miss. Your second baseman is great. Your third baseman is great. Your right fielder is great. And then you have a couple of guys that are subpar.
So, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, because every team has its own, you know, own warts that they're dealing with. I mean, if this Yankees team stays somewhat healthy, because we've seen that they've been decimated with injuries and somehow they find a way to get through the regular season and win 100 games. Give them credit for that. But, I mean, if they stay for the most part healthy, like the big guys, like Aaron Judge stays healthy, Stanton can be more consistent and stay, he's not on the field, but you know what I mean, like stay in the lineup.
Right.
And Gary Sanchez, I mean, turns into some version. And he has to, if there's no chance, can Gary Sanchez be worse offensively than he was last year?
No. No, he was horrendous last year.
So I would imagine, yeah, I mean, this is the team that I would say right now.
You have to pick them.
Yeah.
You have to pick them to represent the American League in the World Series.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd say about 12 minutes when we bring in, I mean, my favorite baseball guy that there is. And I think my favorite guest, and that is Buster Olney. Because he... I bet you if we asked Buster about our big question of the day, Caddyshack or Happy Gilmore, he would give down a beautiful answer. Like, break it down and analyze it like nobody else could.
I'm pretty sure Buster actually listens to the show.
He loves the show.
He loves the show. Wakes up early just to listen to the show.
Yeah.
How do you not appreciate that? I don't know why you consistently put us in this position, though, where you have to rank who our favorite guest is.
I don't understand
why we can't just love them all.
I think uncomfortable moments make for good radio.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I feel bad. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. We're asking them to get up to do the show, and then all of a sudden they have to hear the news that they're not, you know, Mike Tannenbaum has to hear that he's not Dave Rothenberg's favorite guest. That's hurtful.
Well, I like Mike very much. He's just not my number one. And by the way, Buster's up anyway. He's farming at this hour.
No, I understand that. Probably milking cows and everything else. But I mean, you know, Mike is sitting there doing the show. I mean, potentially poops his pants and continues to do the interview. Got to give the guy some credit now.
I don't think there's any potential about it. He let it go.
Well, I don't disagree.
It was Zoftig, I'll tell you that.
They had 35 runs, 31, excuse me, 35 yeah, runs, 33 was, passes.
That's a Zoftig moment there.
That was juicy.
For one, Mike Tenenbaum.
Mind-boggling.
Right. Yeah, it was mind-boggling. Let's get back to the Mets. So right now, as we sit, we don't know what's going to happen with Odorizzi. We don't know what's going to happen with Taijuan Walker. We don't know if they're going to add another piece in the bullpen like a Trevor Rosenthal. And at this point, the Chris Bryant pipe dream seems just like that, a pipe dream. Right now, as we sit, if it weren't to change, do you expect the Mets to win this division or not?
At the moment, I mean, no, I don't know how you would expect them to win the division. I would probably still say the Braves. I don't know how you wouldn't at this point say the Braves.
And that's what's so mind-boggling to me about this Pecota thing, because they put all the information into a computer and it spits out that not only should the Mets win the division, Rick, but should like walk through September without a care in the world as they dominate the National League East.
Yeah, it's tough to believe that that's going to be the case. I mean, if they do win the division, and fingers crossed they do, because you know how much, well, I know because you're a Mets fan, how much we love the Mets and how great that would be. It's going to be right down to the finish, you'd imagine. I mean, even the Marlins are improved. I mean, these teams are going to beat the hell out of each other. Right? There's no weak team in this division.
No.
I guess as far as Pecota is concerned, and I don't know how serious you want to take those projections.
I can't. I mean, with that projection, now, if they win the division by 11 games, then maybe I put a little more validity into it. But how can I take that seriously? How can I take something that is so asinine to me? If you said the Mets are going to win the division by 11 games, everything else you said after that, I don't know that I could take it for real.
Well, Pecota hasn't been, I mean, they've had 1 year over the last three where they were actually close to the Mets win total, right? So I mean, take that for what it's worth. To get to where they're at, which seems ridiculous that they're going to win the division by 11 games, you'd have to all of a sudden say, okay, you know, Pete Alonso is going to bounce back and have a great year. Francisco Lindor is going to continue to just be who he is, which is one of the best players in baseball. The fact that McNeil is going to be playing second base full time kind of now settles him down as far as where he's playing. So you're going to get the best out of him offensively. Catching position is much improved with McCann. Right? Conforto's on a his last year before he's a free agent, so you'd expect him to have a monster year. DeGrom's the best pitcher in baseball. Cookie Carrasco, that addition, on top of the fact that Stroman now is pitching for a contract. So I would have a hard time explaining an 11-game, you know, winning the division by 11 games, but I can, when you go position by position, I can kind of see why, you know, the Mets are going to be, well, I'm not kind of, that's exactly why the Mets going to be right there till the end of this.
Right there is fine. A good team is fine. I think we both expect them to at least at a minimum compete, and I think they need to kind of get into one of those wild card spots at a minimum. But, I mean, win the division by 11 games, and I don't know what's more preposterous. The fact that this Pecota thinks the Mets win the division by 11 or the Braves go 82-80. I think both of them are mind-boggling.
There's some numbers in there, too. I mean, they got the Cardinals going 500. Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some things you look at and say, I can't take this thing serious. I mean, I hope it's right, but I can't imagine that's being the case.
No, let's go to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. Lou and Manalapan. Lou, you're next up on 98.7.
What's up, Dave? What's up, Rick? First things first, I want to tell you guys, if you're going to get your family bagels today, Dave, do not go outside. It's dangerous outside.
So, no, we don't do midweek bagels, but thank you for that.
No, yeah, it's terrible.
Multiple cream cheeses?
I want to talk about the Mets. Imagine if Major League Baseball did kind of like what the NHL did with having the conferences with all the rivals. Imagine if they had to play the Yankees and the Red Sox and all those teams for a year. I was just thinking about that on hold. But the Mets are going to struggle at first, I think, with this division because the Braves really didn't make much changes. They're excited. The Phillies, I don't know how good they are going to be, but the Mets make me concerned because we don't have a DH. We don't have a bullpen, and I'm really concerned about how we're going to last in the long haul. We need this. We need the DH. How are we going to play Dom Smith on left field, Dave? How?
I don't think you can. I don't think you can consistently put Dom Smith as your left fielder. And I think they've said that recently, Lou, and thanks for the call. Didn't Sandy or Rojas come out recently, Rick, and say that they don't look at Dom Smith as the long-term solution in left field this season?
No, they would lose all credibility. I mean, if Luis Rojas said that, you'd have to... I mean, you may have to fire him on the spot. If he says that Dom Smith is our long-term solution in left field. He's not. I mean, he's a much better defensive first baseman than Pete Alonso is. So, yeah, he's right. I mean, they need a DH. They're one of the teams that would benefit the most from having a DH. Yeah,
tremendously. But you might have to bite the ball, and it looks like you're going to. Although it was funny.
Who knows?
Well, you're right. And it was funny what we heard the other day, right? When Tim Kirkland joined us and said an hour before the first game last year, they revamped the entire postseason feel. I mean, how Mickey Mouse is that for Major League Baseball?
But it's been a joke like this since they were trying to get the season started during the pandemic. Going back and how long the owners waited, going back and forth, and how public they made it. It's a joke, man. I mean, we get it. You know, the CBA is coming up, and you're going to have to, both sides, you know, want to get the best out of the negotiation. This is not the time, especially with where your sport is at. Like, your sport is, people are losing interest in your sport. Now is not the time to keep the DH and expanded playoffs as a bargaining chip as opposed to, you know, giving the people what they want. It makes too much sense to not have either of those things.
It's such a shame, because I think both those things make the game so much better, and right away. I mean, listen, you're a Marlins fan last year. You know, ordinarily the Marlins aren't going to compete, but they made the playoffs. They won a round. Like everyone is involved if you expand the postseason.
But you want as many teams as involved as possible, as late into the season as possible. And you want to protect the pitchers, too. Like, I don't, as much as Jake DeGrom loves hitting, I don't need to see Jacob DeGrom running the bases. I don't. I'm all set with that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And what's the point? You know, for every Bartolo Colon out there, which is once a generation, most of the at-bats and the pitchers are brutal. Jack in Maryland. Jack, you're next up, buddy.
Hey, guys. What's going on? First time, long time.
Appreciate it.
So Dave, I have a problem with you and Rick also. I just think both of you guys have been complaining a lot about the Mets offseason. And I feel like you guys are a little bit ungrateful.
First of all, we started the show today by me saying that the people that have complained about this being a bad offseason do not understand how good of an offseason this, in fact, was. Rick, did I say that this morning?
Yeah, you said that.
Okay. So, Jack, I don't know. I think that here's what I will say. The expectation heading into the offseason for the Mets fan was that they were going to land one, maybe two, of these big pieces, and they landed none, right? Of Realmuto, of Bauer, of Springer. I would have bet you money they were going to land one, and they didn't land any of those guys. So am I disappointed there? Yeah, I'm disappointed there.
Yeah, I mean, we set our expectations too high, I guess. I mean, I guess it's on us. But I also, I mean, to say they had a great offseason and still talk about, you know, not feeling great about your bullpen and you could use one more arm with your rotation and that you were in on all the names that we talked about and just didn't go that extra couple, you know, that extra step to get the deals done. I mean, that frustrates me a little bit. I'm not gonna sit here and lie about it. And you're in on all these players. Every single, I mean, Realmuto offered him a deal.
Yep.
Bauer. Springer. Offered him a deal. Bauer, Hand, Paxton, Wilson. That's six guys. And I guess it's my fault being under the impression that if there was a guy that Steve Cohen wanted, the guy was going to be done.
That's what we thought. Remember, this guy spends $5 trillion on artwork. If there's a reliever that he wants that he has to spend an extra, you know, $500,000 or million or $2 million on, he's going to get him. Well, you know what the answer is? That's not true right now.
It's not true.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
This is my favorite guest, and I know that you're partial to Mike Tenenbaum, and that's fine. Let's bring him in now. The great, talented baseball savant, Buster Olney, joins us here on 98.7. Good morning, Buster. How you doing?
Good morning. I love how you immediately put your partner on the defensive.
I know what you're talking about.
That is a genius move.
So I have to offer you congratulations, by the way. It was just brought to my attention. Rick, you don't know this, but you will be wowed by this stat from Buster. You were at the dentist yesterday and have never had a cavity in your life. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Wow.
But I got to tell you, I can't claim credit for it in terms of how I take care of my teeth. I think it's much more about the genes. Like at some point, they put iron and concrete in my teeth gene.
This is what happens, Dave. You grow up on a farm. He's drinking milk right out of the udder.
That's
well,
right. Exactly. That's exactly right.
it's a beautiful thing. All right. So we have a lot to cover with you today. Let's start with the Mets. They're reporting today. What makes a successful season for the Mets in your mind? Like, do they have to get in to be one of these five postseason teams? Do they have to win a wild card game and get into a full five game series? Like, what's your expectation right now for what the Mets need to do to make this a success?
That they contend for the National League East title, and yes, they get in. And one thing to keep in mind, it is possible that before the start of the season, we're going to see an agreement on expanded playoffs. You know, to this point, they haven't, but sources have told me this is something that's still on the table, and so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, and I think that, you know, Steve Cohen is going to be fully cognizant of that, which is why I think, you know, when Mets fans, you know, talk about the team and what they've done this winter and you know, why didn't they wind up with another one of the big five players who are available, whether it's Realmuto or Springer or Trevor Bauer. I think they're going to be hyper aggressive at the trade deadline, which is not something we've typically seen from Mets teams. And so the team they'll open up with today is not necessarily the team that you're going to see when we get to August 1st.
In all honesty, might be right around the time that the Major League Baseball announces the expanded playoffs by the trade deadline. Buster, do they realize they're killing the game? Do they realize, I mean, what they're doing to the game of baseball right now and what a clown show they look like doing this kind of stuff?
I think they're are all aware of it, and they blame each other. You know, the owners feel like that the union leadership is completely intransigent. They don't bring ideas to the table. They're not willing to negotiate and look for middle ground. And the player association leadership really feels like that since the 2016 agreement that the owners have gouged the players, and the numbers certainly back that up in terms of where the salaries have gone. But it's brutal. You know, the idea that, you know, for example, everyone in the sport wants the universal DH, and the idea that that's not in place now is kind of laughable and speaks to the fact that two sides can't talk. The idea that we don't know for sure about how many teams are going to be in the playoffs now. And we didn't, if you guys remember, you know, until Max Scherzer was warming up to play to start the first game last year, it tells you that, you know, the two sides really don't work well together right now, and it certainly makes you scared about what's to come next year when the CBA is up.
Buster Olney with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So let's look at the Mets a little deeper here. I think they had a good offseason. We had callers today saying, oh, you know, we thought they're going to get one of the big three, and that makes it disappointing. And I understand that that's a little disappointing, not getting Bauer, not getting Springer or Real Muto. But, I mean, you added one of the elite players in baseball in Lindor. So I think this was a good offseason. But where do you think they go from here? Because I'm still of the mindset, and I don't know if this is appropriate or not. I don't think they're done. I don't know whether they had another starter, whether it's someone out of the pen like a Trevor Rosenthal, whether they still make a trade for a Chris Bryant. But do you feel like this is the team they go to battle with just even on opening day, or do you think there are still moves to be made in the next 5 weeks?
No, I agree with you. There's still some free agents on the board. You know, Rosenthal being an example. Jake Odorizzi still on the board. Taiwan Walker, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they take a shot. And then as players become available in spring training, as some of the teams really begin to earnestly lock down their payroll, I think the Mets will be in a position to do something. And it is interesting because there were such expectations when Steve took over as the owner of the team, and I know that some Mets fans are disappointed. This is going to be the highest payroll in club history. They're opening this year as the third highest payroll in the National League. That's not typical for the Mets. They've done a lot of stuff, and it's not only, you know, going out and adding Lindor, and I agree with you. I think he's one of the, you know, 5-10 best players in baseball, but it's the infrastructure, the Pilar, who's a good major leaguer. It's the VR, who's a good major leaguer. Trevor May to their bullpen. There's depth there that was not there in the past. And I, you know, the other day when they missed out, or last week when they missed out on Trevor Bauer, I had an executive at baseball say, you know, if they had gotten him, they would have been the best team in the National League East. And that's saying a lot considering what a good team the Braves are.
Yeah, okay. See, this is the problem. Again, Dave, this is why I love our guest, because he just said something that makes me want to ask a different question, but I had my first question lined up. So I'll ask my first question. In your opinion, Buster, because all we heard during the offseason was, you know, Real Muto, it was Bauer, it was Springer, and the Mets would probably at least get one, maybe two. And then how it played out was we signed James McCann, and I was of the mindset, okay, James McCann, he makes less than Real Muto, which gives us the flexibility to get someone like Springer, which, I mean, center field has been a glaring hole for the New York Mets. Do you think because they were strung along as long as they were strung along by Trevor Bauer, that played into the reason why they didn't go that, you know, that extra couple million dollars with George Springer, thinking that they would get Trevor Bauer at the end of it?
No. They were never close with their numbers on George Springer. You know, he wound up with, what, $150 million from the Blue Jays. For the Mets to get him, I think it probably would have cost $175. So they weren't even in the ballpark of where they probably needed to be. I think that if you were to, you know, give truth serum to the Mets people and ask them if you could do it all over again, how would you handle it differently? I think they would have wound up with Real Muto because where his price landed with the Phillies was far below what was initially asked. You know, the initial thought was he was going to be aiming for something in the range of $200 million. And you can understand why the Mets wanted to make sure they filled that important position. But with 2020 hindsight, that's, in talking with executives of other teams, they feel like that's the player that the Mets should have wound up with.
Buster Olney with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I want to get to the Yankees, but there's a monster deal that got done last night, and that's for Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
14 at 340. I mean, just insane numbers. You surprised that they got this done so early on in his career? Is this a smart move for them?
It was very interesting last night because you text and you talk to people with other teams, and there was an incredibly wide range of opinion. Like one executive said, was just shocked by the level of guaranteed dollars that the Padres, small market, mid-market team, put out on a player that young. This executive said, why didn't they just give him 20 years? On the other hand, I talked to people within the Padres organization who felt like, nope, this is the right player at the right time, at the right price, and he might turn out to be a bargain. And he proved it to them last year how he can make adjustments. If you guys remember, last offseason, they actually talked to Cleveland about Lindor because they were concerned about Tatis Jr.'s consistency on defense. They go to spring training. They sit him down. Here's the things we need you to work on. You know, take care of the simple plays. And he absolutely thrived. And around baseball, he's consistently talked about as being one of the three best players in baseball with Trout, with Mookie Betts. And that's saying something. That's a lot to say about a player who's 22. And one thing about his contract, no question, ripple effects are going to be felt in the Mets organization. Because now that he got 340, if you're Lindor and you're the older player and you're closer to free agency, you're looking at something. You're going to be looking for something north of that. I think the Mets have to get comfortable with a number like 350 on Lindor.
How happy is Juan Soto right now, too, that he sees this deal? Buster only joins us here on the show. Buster, switching to the New York Yankees here for a minute. Dave and I were going back and forth looking at the landscape of the American League. And we just came up with it's the Yankees, the White Sox, I'm sure, will be there. You got the Twins, the Astros, the A's. But in your mind, are the Yankees the best team in the American League?
Yes. And I think you absolutely framed it perfectly. Because, again, there are Yankee fans who felt like, boy, we should do more. Why are we worried about the competitive balance tax? The fact is that there's been a talent shift from the American League to the National League. There are no super teams in the American League. And I think over the course of a regular season, you know, the Yankees offense will play out. And I also would put them, like the Mets, in the category of watching before the trade deadline. If Hal Steinbrenner takes the shackles off Brian Cashman, allows him to go over the competitive balance tax, I think they're going to add aggressively. There is certainly risk in their rotation, but I know internally the Yankees really feel like that the guys they have, Kluber, Tyone, et cetera, are not only, yes, they're high risk, but they're also high ceiling, and they're feeling good about that. But the fact is that the Astros have taken a step back. Oakland's taken a step back. The Rays trade Snell. They let Morton go. You know, the American League Central, while the White Sox are better, it's not a great division. So I think over the course of the regular season, the Yankees have to be viewed as the favorite.
Buster, if the Yankees don't go to the World Series, and I'll say all the way to the World Series, is this a disappointing and an even failed season when you look at the American League?
Yeah, I think we are now officially in the old George Steinbrenner doctrine is in play in 2021. You know, because they've had the near misses, they've had, you know, getting close but not having it get done. I do feel like this year for Yankee fans and within that organization, if they don't make it to the World Series, they will consider it to be a disappointing year, because that's where their expectations are.
Buster, last one for me. If there was one thing you could point to with the New York Yankees that could trip them up this season and have them not reach their expectations, what would it be?
Rotation. I think that's pretty easy because of the risk. Look, you know, we've seen the Yankees in the past make these moves on guys where you think, wow, you know, that's an interesting name, and that guy could, you know, if he can stay healthy, he can make it happen. I remember when they traded for James Paxton, feeling like, wow, that guy is a great ad. And he wound up being hurt a lot, you know, in keeping with his history. When they signed Tanaka, you thought, okay, here is an absolute number one, you know, top five pitcher in baseball, and he got hurt. And when you look at Kluber, yeah, it might be that, you know, what he showed in his bullpen session will continue and he'll be healthy. Tyone, from everything I hear, he looks tremendous, but they do have extensive medical histories. And if they fall apart, you know, that's going to be a challenge for them. Now, I would say that's an area that they could definitely improve before the trade deadline.
He is the Jacob DeGrom of this program, our ace number one starter. Buster, great stuff. I know you're a big snowblower guy, so good luck if we do get what we're expected to get here.
I can't wait. Embrace the challenge.
Thanks, Buster. We'll talk to you. We appreciate it. Oh, that's great. That is he loves. Last time we tried to have him on, RJ didn't get a response for hours, and then finally he responded. He said, I'm sorry, I was out, you know, snowblowing for hours.
He's a real man. Because he's a real man. He's not, I mean, we've all seen how you shovel. I did a video about how you shovel.
I shovel. I didn't think that was very nice, by the way. And by the way, just wait until I do my next video.
Well, they cut the, what aggravates me is, you know how long that, I mean, you can imagine how long that video took.
Well, the thing, it was like the War and Peace of videos. They tell us do like 12 to 17 seconds. I think yours was 42 seconds.
That's half of it. There's a whole second. I had to use the movie option on the app on my phone to make a movie.
How long was the video?
I don't know. RJ, what was it, like a minute and change?
Yeah, and the thing is, Rick was the one going into these videos. They're on social media. Check us out anywhere, at DCR on ESPN. Rick was the one that said, I can't do it. It's too much anxiety. It's too much pressure. And then when I say, do 12 seconds, he goes, no, I have to do the longer version, and it's the way it's got to be. And I get like 3 minutes of raw footage.
But at the same time, if you know anything about Rick DiPietro, that's 100% on brand for him.
I imagine that 40-second video or 90-second or whatever you sent to RJ and Ray probably took you well over an hour to do.
No, multiple takes. Whole family was involved. Cass was involved. Ella was involved. The second part of the video was actually fun. Like, your part was I like your part, but the second part was my favorite part. Like, it was just more, it was more life advice that you get on the show, and it was more related to Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Ella did a fantastic job.
That's on the cutting room floor right now, because it was only making fun of me and the fact that, listen, I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm great with vendors. A lot of snow is in the horizon, and there will be someone plowing my driveway, and it won't be me.
That's why Buster's the man, and you're just I don't disagree with you
at all. Time now for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot more noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, you tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199, plus get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune in to Straight Talk, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, and no compromise.
I'm being told, too, I got sources everywhere. I mean, as far as you know, I'm always listening. I'm like your iPhone. I hear everything. Is that, yeah, we're getting to the point now where we're approaching the luxury cap threshold with the plowing.
I'm not happy about it. Now you laugh, and I know that you and Chris are made of money, and that kind of thing is fun for you. Every legitimate snowstorm is now costing me well over $100.
Hide the money, y'all. There's
I don't understand
people
why
around.
This is funny.
Because you got, and there's no reason why you shouldn't have a snowblower and do it yourself if you're concerned about how much it's costing you.
You got two boys, too. It's going to cost me like upwards of $700.
I love how they're doing multiple trips, too. That's my favorite.
That's their scam that they run. Because they, God forbid, they come and snowblow like 8 inches at a time. No, they have to do it in stages. The first portion of the snow, they come and they do the 2 or 3 inches, and then they come back, and then they salt. They charge us for salt. The whole thing is a scam.
This is what you need to do. Tomorrow on the show, we'll hold a press conference, kind of like the Pittsburgh Steelers GM, and now you just put the plow company on notice that there's going to be, currently right now, you're the service that we use, but there's going to, decisions will need to be made in the offseason.
It is unbelievable. Let's go to Andre. Dre in Westchester. You're next up on 98.7.
How you doing there? How you doing there, gentlemen? Good morning. Good morning.
What's up, Andre?
I say my speech. I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm going to defend the Mets in this matter. I believe the last few years, the National League's been had teams that came out of it that have been real streaky, and I believe the Mets plugged in some, if on paper, plugged in some areas where, I like the Yankees, they can probably get some more on-base percentages, timely hitting, that would generate more runs, and if the bullpen and the latter part of the rotation holds up, there may be an extra two to three runs added on to a final score that may help the Mets generate more victories. A lot of their victories were bullpen collapses and errors or whatever the case in the last few seasons that made them lose games. It wasn't like always blowing out. They always were competitive for like a good six innings.
Yeah, so but Dre, that's my biggest concern, though. But Dre, that's my biggest concern is what you just mentioned are still two issues for the Mets. I mean, with no DH defensively still, I don't think they're where they need to be. And then on top of that, I mean, your bullpen is still a question for me, especially who's closing games.
Who do you trust the most in the bullpen?
Seth Lugo, but he's hurt.
Exactly. And he's not even here for an extended period of time.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree 1,000%.
What frustrates me is that it was obvious that he needed bullpen help. And I like Trevor May, and I'm not opposed to Trevor May, but look at the guys that were available. Brad Hand, Colome, Melanson. I mean, there was a lot of really good pieces that were available, and outside of Trevor May, you did nothing. Now, hopefully Betances is better. I don't know how you trust Familia at this point. You need Edwin Diaz to be a legitimate closer, but there are real concerns with that bullpen heading into this season.
Dave, there were, I mean, a handful of reports that I read saying that the Mets were actively trying to move Familia.
And Betances, I've seen.
Okay, so, I mean, that's that would signal to me that they don't necessarily trust either of those guys. And it's going to be on Edwin Diaz to... And he was better last year. I mean, don't get it twisted. He was better last year, but he was still not the Edwin Diaz that we saw in Seattle.
I don't even need that. Just be like a top 12 closer. Just be a guy that, for the most part, is going to come in and shut the door. Because I got to tell you, every single time he comes into a one or even two run game, I am near panic when this happens.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, offensively, the Mets were, I mean, if you look at the numbers, the Mets were, you know, right there at the top of the National League. Offensively, it was just they found ways to lose games with defense and with a shoddy bullpen.
Yeah, but that's the concern, right? Is defensively they still have a lot of question marks, and bullpen they still have a lot of question marks. So and I think they are a better baseball team, and I think Alonso will rebound, and I like McNeil playing every day at second, and there are things that are exciting. But the crux of it, Rick, is the issues you had, you still kind of have.
Well, here's what it comes down to for me. Is that, and you heard Buster say it, if the Mets had signed Trevor Bauer, they would be the class of the NL East. That would have taken them to that level where it was the Mets, and then it was going to be the Braves and the Nationals and the Phillies chasing the New York Mets. So there was that opportunity existed. I love the Lindor move with Cookie Carrasco, Trevor May, James McCann, you name the move. I like those moves. But you had the opportunity this offseason to take it to that level where all of a sudden you were going to be the team that the teams in your division were chasing. And we've had two people say it. That's two baseball insiders that we trust. Tim Kirkchian and Buster Olney both said the same exact thing. Is that as far as they're concerned, the class of the NL East right now, in their minds, is the Braves, and Kirkchian even threw in the Nationals.
Yep. Let's get Pakoda on the phone, because they do not agree with that even a little bit. Let's go to Chucky in Newburgh. Chucky, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, Chuck?
I got a problem with what you said.
Uh-oh.
All right. Listen. You want guys to come plow your driveway. You want them wait. You want them to wait till you have 12 inches of snow on the driveway. They can't push that. How do you expect them to plow your driveway when you have 8 inches of snow on the driveway?
I don't know. I don't know anything about
it.
So what they're doing is the appropriate thing. Coming back in multiple stages is right.
100%. 100%. Because otherwise, then your driveway would be left with a sheet of ice because it would just be hard packed.
But now they double charge me, Chuck. Now I get like the double charge for them coming and doing this twice.
That's a you problem, Dave. That's a you problem.
Yes. Yes.
You could buy a shovel.
I'd die. Are you crazy?
We're witnessing the vendors turning on Dave Rothenberg. The vendors are now turning on Dave Rothenberg.
Well, I would never use him. I mean, the way he talked to me. I'm like a vendor that treats me nicely.
I'm going to have to – listen, we all know that you have no idea what to do with 8 inches. You never had that problem before. But at some point, I mean, if you want to do yourself a favor, maybe you get out there and you show them the first couple inches so it allows the plow to actually to do the rest in one shot maybe. Maybe
yeah,
you go on early.
The whole scam that he's got going, he'll do the multiple trips anyway.
Well, apparently it's not a scam. Chuck just told you.
I guess. But you know what? That's good living. I mean, in my next life, I'm coming back as a plow driver.
And you're free. I mean, you got plenty of free time. The show's over at 8.
That's true. Maybe I should get into this line of business. Maybe I will. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. All right, Santi, let's go. You got the big three stars to present.
Three stars of DCR. Number three.
I'm going to thank Rick DiPietro for bringing this conversation to light again with Dave and the plowing and all this. Dave, just go out and shovel your driveway. That's all I can
You know
say.
What? It's not so easy. Okay?
And you know what's not also easy? Plowing. I don't appreciate you disparaging of how easy the plowing is. My father's a truck driver.
I never said it was easy.
My father's a truck driver, and he has to do it from time to time. And every time he has done it over the years, he comes home completely miserable. He hates it.
When did I ever say it was easy? You're putting words in my mouth.
I don't think you can handle that line of work. I'm just saying.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
Number two.
Buster Olney, and not for the hard-hitting baseball analysis that we come to expect from him, but just him pointing out and you bringing it up off the air, on the air, how perfect his teeth are. That's something we can all strive for. I wish I had... could make the claim. I don't have cavities like Buster Olney does.
He doesn't have one cavity.
Well, the question is, did he get a cavity in his baby teeth? Did he ever have a cavity in the baby teeth that
no.
it fell out?
I'm assuming that if he hasn't had one in his adult teeth, he didn't have a child cavity either.
Yeah. credit is
number
good.
One.
I'm sorry, Rick.
I was going to say credit. Us with kids, you'll get the kids to like really focus on brushing the teeth and everything else. That's a task.
Fluoride, baby. All right, number one. Safety.
Number one, Happy Gilmore. The poll has it. Happy Gilmore's better than Caddyshack.
Oh, back to your shanties.
It's wrong.
Too old.
I'm sorry. The fact that two out of every three people are voting for Happy Gilmore over Caddyshack is—it's a pop.
There was never a doubt.
Audience.
There was never a doubt.
It's honestly nothing short of an embarrassment. All right, Chris is back with us tomorrow. It's a non-football Friday, but a lot for us to do, and it's Rule 76.
No excuses, Plague of Champions. DPH, Canty Rothenberg, and
everybody.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.